Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to your latest edition of the Woke Bros. I'm your host, Big Waz, alongside my compatriot, my co-captain, my comrade, of course, Michael Jabal, Shabazz, Abdul, Brooks. What's going on, Michael?
Good, man. It's always a pleasure, Big Waz. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. And as always, Rob Lopez is on the ones and twos. On today's episode, we're going to get into a little bit of Trump.
against, you know, the superwoman congressman Ilhan Omar. ASAP Rocky is being held in prison in Sweden for essentially just beating a guy up, and a little bit more. But first, Mike, man, I want you to tee up this Trump conversation for us, because I know you've been on top of this on your various other platforms. So, and you're at the pulse of this one. Set this up for the people at home who maybe haven't caught up yet.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this has been going on for a while, and I think specifically Trump versus the four of these women, these congresswomen, has been going on in different forms for a while. And then Ilhan Omar specifically, you know, going back several months now, for people from both parties who have distorted and lied about her opinion on Israel. They've tried to smear her as an anti-Semite. And also, I think it's always really important to say in these conversations that the Democratic leadership and most people, you know, in the media and so on, have also, while they have not gone as far, they have often been willing co-participants in the lies about her. But in the last couple of days, things have accelerated very quickly for a combination of factors. One is that Donald Trump is, you know, running for re-election. And unlike the last time when he ran on racism and xenophobia, but he could also lie about helping people's economic situation. I mean, obviously, he's governed the last couple of years. So that whole hustle, that whole, you know, that whole scam is done. He's a pure, you know, he's a Republican. So obviously his policies aren't helping anybody that isn't an oligarch. Right. But then beyond that, you know, Ilhan Omar is incredibly courageous, and these four leaders are incredibly courageous. They're the actual opposition, while Nancy Pelosi does nothing except, in fact, try to attack them. Right. So Donald Trump first put out a tweet saying, if you guys, you know, if you don't like it, you can go back to where you came from. It's, you know, it's irrelevant that the three of the four congresswomen, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and Ayanna Pressley, were all born in the United States. Of course, Ilhan Omar is an American citizen and a Somali refugee. You know, that's all secondary. And then at a rally in North Carolina yesterday, the crowd started chanting, "Send her back." And Ilhan Omar today, she was like, "Look, he's a fascist." Yep. You know, and honestly, I've never been like a nerd about it one way or another. And I don't, you know, people get into this. I think, like, clearly this is a fascistic government. But if you get really technical now, if you want to be like that, like, yes, this is getting dictionary definition shit.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that, Mike, is that those four women, and we've said this many times on the show in the past, but those four women kind of represent the antithesis of what Republicanism is today, right? Like, they're the children of immigrants. They're women. They're outspoken. They're way smarter than our own president, right? So they represent, like, they're symbols for the threat that these people feel like they're under, right? Like, I can't talk to women the way I used to. And, you know, women want to have a seat at the table. And, you know, immigrants, they're non-white women. Like, all of the things that Republicans in their base have come to stupidly see as their biggest threats, these four women are symbols for that. So it seems obvious that a guy like Trump, who you mentioned, how he got his rise is birtherism and demonizing the other, and this idea that this is a white American country and for nobody else. It almost seems perfect that these are the four people that he's choosing to have a laser-like focus on as he starts his campaign again. Because, you know, even though he had stuff that was sort of undergirding the campaign when it came to anti, you know, it was anti-war, certain elements of it. It was anti-trade, certain elements of it. But the main engine that powered his, you know, ascendancy to the presidency was just straight up hate. Straight up, yep. White supremacy.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, like, there were those other elements, but what undergirded this thing, what made it as powerful and gave it its thrust and, you know, was able to displace, make a guy like Jeb Bush seem like super sheepish and impotent, was Jeb Bush's unwillingness to be like, go back to where the fuck you came from, right?
I thought I was going
to
say because Jeb Bush is impotent and weak, but all right.
fair point. But, you know, as you said, like, it makes sense that these are the people that they've chosen to target.
That's 100%. And this is where it's like, you know, of course this is planned and, you know, this is all he's got and this is what he's about. So of course, and I do think it's important though to also really emphasize that, you know, as she herself, you know, as Ilan has said, like, this is also like, you know, there's the really fundamental question of democracy, of anti-racism, of a country where everybody can have, you know, their full rights and capacities, right? And then there's also the other reality that, you know, this is the classic, like, if you're some, you know, if you are not rich and you're some yokel lapping this up, you're a fucking sucker.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean, you know, like, you need to have the bare minimum. You need to support other people's rights and humanity and safety and security. But you don't need to, you know, you don't need to be subscribing to all the best podcasts and using this or that discourse. You know, you could eat hot dogs and watch baseball and, you know, whatever the fuck, it does not matter. But if you can't get over it enough to realize that not only should you not have a bigoted position, but that also Ilhan Omar is an example. She, along with Bernie Sanders, is demanding an investigation of Amazon warehouse conditions. She's the co-sponsor of healthcare. That's healthcare for everybody, including the dumb bastards that are telling her to leave. You know, she's the co-sponsor of Bernie Sanders' debt cancellation bill. She, if you get over yourself and you could just, you know, be an adult and deal with reality and not have, you know, and not pee your pants because she has a scarf, she's going to do more for you than these other people ever will. So, you know, don't embarrass yourself. Don't be a cuck for, you know, divide you like that.
Yeah. And I do want to get back to the Pelosi element of this, right? I, you know, at the time when she was trying to her bid to become the leader of the House again, the Speaker of the House again, I thought the squabbles between her and the progressive slash left flank of the House was a little overrated. You know, the idea that a progressive bill would come up and that Pelosi wouldn't whip up the votes necessary to pass it to the Senate. Like, the idea that that would not be the case going forward, you know, I thought that was laughable, right? But what I do think I had a blind spot on was these other little microaggressions, right? Like, that don't actually necessarily have to do with policy per se, but how you look out in public when you go out of your way, it seems at times, to belittle or to, you know, go after, quite frankly, to make yourself seem tough to the quote-unquote moderate voter that, yo, I'm willing to go after my more strident members of my party. I just, you know, I never foresaw this much unnecessary bickering coming up. And I think Pelosi comes out of this looking so bad. She looks so petty. She looks like somebody who is very short-sighted in her thinking and doesn't see the future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
right.
I didn't, you know, I never thought.
But Mike, it's not that it surprises me. It's that I didn't foresee this. I thought we'd have more important things to do than.
No, but I think that's the thing, though, right?
People on the wrist.
But I think that's the thing. I think what's really clear now, because there's two different distinctions, right? Like, one, yes, we all know that people like Nancy Pelosi, they're corporate, they're moderate, they're not on board for, like, the real Bernie Sanders, you know, squad agenda that we need, right? Yeah. But there's also just the fact that they are totally ineffective and cowardice by their own metrics. Like, I don't think about impeachment that much, but there's a whole lot of freaked out resistance people who think about that all day. And the same people that they elevate and worship won't even do that, even though there's ample opportunity to move that ball forward. And I think what's really clear is that there's a big ideological difference, but it's also the fact that, like, Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and these people, they care more about their power inside the Democratic Party than they do about saving democracy or dealing with Donald Trump. So that's why they're more, it's not even just like, to me, it's like they're straight up more disrespectful to these four leaders than they are to Donald Trump. And that's why, like, in the substance, that's why she, along with the majority of the Democratic caucus and the child abuser caucus, they pass a border bill without any conditions. And, right. You know, to me, like, even just going back to Harry Reid for a second, Harry Reid was a conservative, moderate Democrat. He was no, you know, super left by any stretch of the imagination, but he was partisan and he did not like George W. Bush. And he stuck to him and he knew where his loyalties were. And that's completely not there in the Democratic Party leadership. These people smeared Ilhan Omar at AIPAC, right? While she was getting incited against months ago. And by the way, the last thing I just want to say real quick, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, when they put out their tweets about this, and of course Bernie's was the most elaborated and he just sent an email on it, like it just always needs to be stated. He's the best, I'm sorry. But they used the hashtag stand with Ilhan hashtag. And in this case, that's a social media thing that really matters because you're fucking like, oh, I condemn the president's whatever. No. There's a specific person that he's inciting against who's a vulnerable leader right now. You have to speak for her specifically.
And you know what really gets under my skin is this shit is not that complicated, right? And it's also not that hard to decipher, right? The motivations of people like Pelosi. It's obvious when somebody like Rahm Emanuel comes out and says, well, we need to rein in the super lefty people if we're going to win stuff. And you see a Pelosi come out and constantly feel the need to, you know, go at these people. It's obvious who they're getting this from. It's the fucking donor class. It's the corporate people who fund all their campaigns, who are, you know, at this moment in time, part of the power base of the party, right? The people who get to make the biggest decisions about who shit gets funded and who doesn't, right? It's so painfully obvious where this talk is coming from. It's coming from the money side of the party. And it's like, obviously money is only interested in money, right? Like, what, they don't really have any grounding principles when it comes to the corporate wing of the party. It's not grounded in making sure people can go to the doctor and afford it. Right. It's about money. It's only about money. And it's so obvious when these people come out and they say the stupid, short-sighted things that they say about, well, how are we supposed to win elections? As if these people have been dead on about winning elections their entire lives is bullshit. And I think that's the most distressing part of it. It's just so plain, painfully obvious how short-sighted and narrow-minded all of this stuff is. And we all know where this is coming from. We all know who the people are who don't want to hear shit about a minimum wage hike, who don't want to hear shit about universal healthcare, who don't want to hear shit about the cancellation of college debt. The money people in the party don't care about those issues.
Well, they're opposed to those issues.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why, again, how many former people from Obama and Clinton eras, they're signing up to lobby with the insurance industry against giving everybody health care? Like, this is – and especially right now, right, because we're not at that point, and I don't ever want to be at that point. But this isn't – you know, this isn't a couple of weeks before Election Day and Hillary Clinton's trash, but you can't have Trump. This is the time that we need to have this battle because it's not only for – the big picture shit that we really need to do. We're not even mentioning climate change or policing or all of these other things, but also because even for these people's own metrics, they fucking suck. Like, we're not talking about people that it's like, hey, you know, I disagree with them and whatever, but, you know, I got to admit they're effective. They got Trump on the back heel. They don't.
No, they don't. And, you know, a lot of this and the funny thing is about this centrism and this idea that, you know, this idea that there's just this super moderate voter, right? And they're so pragmatic, and all they care about is it's bullshit. It's like, it's not true. Like, these voters that people are chasing are ghosts. Like, I understand the idea that there are people in the Democratic House of Representatives, Democrats in the House of Representatives who won swing districts, right? Who won districts where they didn't win by like 60, 70%. And, you know, and that's often a common critique of somebody like AOC, where they're like, yo, she's in the safest, one of the safest districts in America for a Democrat. Of course she can come out and say what she wants and do what she wants. But we have to think about those other members of our caucus, which a part of me is like, yeah, okay, okay, that's cool. But the way they flipped those issues was not by condemning lefties, right? It was like, look, there's a certain politics in the Republican Party. They're all conspiring against you to not have health care, to not have a minimum wage hike, to not, you know, basically uplift your life, because they want you to think that those benefits mainly are only going to accrue to lazy Black and Latino people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, that's how they won. It's not like they don't convert those people by saying, well, I'm not a crazy lefty. It's like, no. I want to deliver positive outcomes for you, no matter what your political affiliation is. These other people, they try to get you to think those outcomes can't happen for you, and that Democrats only want those outcomes for Black and brown people. That's how they went about convincing people to flip their vote, right? Like, convincing them that the core of Republicanism is to trick you into thinking that just straight up being white is enough, right?
Right.
Like, having a better life is not what you should be striving for. Being better than our most downtrodden people in the company is all you need. That's the message that these people are carrying out, is this idea that we're going to go out and do shit for people. So they didn't flip those districts by being anti-AOC, by being anti-Bernie. It's just a ridiculous notion that I can't for the life of me understand how they think this shit is an effective messaging.
Absolutely.
I am not surprised when the president says that four sitting members of Congress should, quote, go back to their own country, when he has authorized raids without warrants on thousands of families across this country. I am not surprised that he uses the rhetoric that he does when he violates international human rights and takes thousands of children away from their families. I am not surprised that he has turned our public education system under the leadership of Betsy DeVos into a cash cow to enrich himself and his friends. I am not surprised when he corrupts via the Secretary of Transportation. I am not surprised at what he's doing. But I also know that we're focused on making it better, because we don't leave the things that we love. And when we love this country, what that means is that we propose the solutions to fix it. We love all people in this country, and that's why we believe health care is a human right. We love all children in this country, and because we do, that's why we fight for education for all children through college. And so we'll stay focused on our agenda, and we won't get caught slipping, because all of this is a distraction. It's a distraction from what's most important and from our core values as American citizens.
June 30th, TMZ, because I don't know how they do it, but they are the most cracked journalists, Johnny on the spot journalists when it comes to celebrity news that we have out there. I can't explain it. Like, they just get every single celebrity news item first. Whatever, even in Scandinavia. So rapper ASAP Rocky, New York City guy, Harlem guy, was arrested. They first reported that he was arrested in Sweden on the charge of beating a few people, him and his homies beating some people up. That was June 30th. It is now July 18th. ASAP Rocky is still in custody out in Sweden. Basically, it's what the charge is, that he beat people up. Members of his crew, the ASAP crew, people like Ferg, was like, look, these guys were following us around, heckling us. They approached us, and we basically essentially defended ourselves. That's the story coming out of the camp. But you have people like Congressman Hakeem Jeffries out of New York, Adriano Espelot. Sorry, I'm not good with foreign languages, y'all.
Dude,
and Joaquin Castro of Texas. All three Democrats. They've come out against this because, you know, news is trickling out that ASAP Rocky's doing 23 hours of solitary confinement in that jail, which is, I know we do that shit in the States, but it's inhumane. It's fucking torture. And it just speaks to what can happen, man, when you go abroad and you got a little name and you think that you know, because you're ASAP Rocky and you can do whatever you want. Like, yo, man, whenever you leave the States, you put yourself at the mercy of laws and customs and standards that you have no idea about, right? And to now, this thing has kind of become a catastrophe where this guy's still locked up. Who knows if he's seen a lawyer? We have no idea what's going on over there.
Yeah, no, and I think that's really, like, I mean, just from the perspective of country, like Sweden, from a nation branding perspective, because Sweden, you know, Stockholm is actually a very, you know, people have... I've heard a lot of people liking to perform in Stockholm, liking to check it out. I was actually just talking with a friend of mine, Napoleon the Legend. He's a really good independent rapper in Brooklyn, but most of his tour dates are in Europe. Like, you know, he performs at festivals like Paris and the Czech Republic and whatever. And that's, you know, that's like reading some fucking sci-fi, you know, novel, right? I mean, like, you're an internationally known pop star, you get into a scuffle, and then you're held incommunicado for weeks. That's like not something that a country that's supposed to be, you know, a 21st century democracy should do. And again, I understand, like, you know, of course, like we say that coming from the United States, where there's endless number of police abuse and prison abuse and all and people railroaded all the time. And racially, we know this. I still would say that, you know, somebody going there with all of his resources and them basically just depriving him of contact like that is still pretty bizarre and unusual. Like, I don't, you know, that is very weird. But I think, you know, so, and obviously, you know, of course, there has to be, I mean, there's obviously a huge racial dimension to this. I could not imagine, you know, like, this would not happen to a white pop star. I mean, that's obvious. But I do think, you know, the other thing that I just want to add to this briefly, and actually Joe Budden, I caught a few minutes. He actually had a very good rant about this, because we've been talking for a while. Like, I remember even back in 2016, Phil and I talked on Dope Boys when we did that show. And I don't even remember. It might have been a couple of times. You might have been involved in one of those discussions. I don't remember all of them. But, like, you know, Aesop is somebody who definitely said a couple of years ago, he did that kind of, like, you know, Black Lives Matter. What do you fuck? Like, I'm in a Rolls Royce. Like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, he's like, he's like, bro, I hang out in Beverly Hills in Paris. Like, I don't even have any idea what you're talking about. One of his quotes was, the fuck am I, Al Sharpton now?
That's right. And I mean, and to me, like, I never really, like, I think honestly, and I don't agree with it, but I think he was really, you know, I think that was part of his, like, you know, he has that line, and I don't remember the designer he's talking about, like, but my Martin was a Mason, I think, like, literally right. saying that, like, my MLK was that, you know, something from some, like, Paris fashion house. Like,
yeah.
he was doing, like, look, I fuck girls, I do coke, and I hang out in penthouses, and that's what I do. And I just wanted, like, so it's really ironic and tragic that it would that something as extreme as this would happen to, like, it wasn't even like, you know, like, this is so extreme. But on the flip side, like what Joe Budden was saying was like, this is very, I mean, I think you can talk about it in a conversation, but you know, this is definitely not the time to like get on Twitter and be like, oh well, see.
Yeah,
you know, like he's in a really fucking bad spot. Like, yo, and, not the time to get all like high and mighty about it.
Yes, and that's very, you know, lefty of us to do, ridiculous. Right? Like, yeah. This is, see, these are the consequences of not being woke, Mike. Which is just like, I mean, I guess, you know. And here's the thing though, Mike. Which I think people missed the boat on is that. You can't draft somebody to be a fucking activist, right? Like, a person has to hear that calling. They have to find that on their own, which is why, like, although, like, I wish he didn't say that publicly. I think it's ugly. It's kind of, like, lacks self-awareness. It makes you sound very stupid. I wish he didn't say that publicly. But the idea that this guy should, you know, he should want to be an activist simply because he's a famous rapper. Never carries water with me anytime people bring it up. And, you know, furthermore, I think those people who are clamoring for that type of stuff, the idea that this experience won't inform how this guy goes about his life going forward. And that won't be reflected in his art. Like, I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think that these experiences tend to be
fucking least.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, shit. Like,
he's being detained in a foreign country, bro.
I think it's gonna affect his worldview. I mean, that's the other thing, like, in general, that I hate about that, like, you know, finger wag cancel shit is like, we should be trying to go in the other direction of like, how can people get better? How can they transform? Because the truth is like, everybody, I'm not saying everything's the same, obviously, but the truth is, the reality is that everybody actually does need to do that. And this is like, what a case of like, first of all, yeah, like I would have wished that, you know, I don't know, he ran into, I don't know, Ava DuVernay or something and was like, oh, okay, I'll watch that Netflix special. Or even honestly, just aged out a couple of years and been like, yeah, I was being an asshole. Like, whatever. Yep. Like, I would not, I was about to say I wouldn't wish this experience on anybody. I don't know if that's true, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
Rocky's not on that list.
Right.
And it's like, to say the least. I mean, look, if A$AP Rocky comes out of this situation and is like, yeah, I mean, besides that brief detour, I pretty much fuck around in Paris and Beverly Hills. Then, you know, I don't know. Then he's just he's a unique character. But
right.
I doubt that will happen. And so I think people can, like, you know, keep their fucking lectures. At least wait until he's out of prison. And also, you know, there are still some good, you know, there are some very, very left progressive Swedes, man. So maybe they orchestrated this so he'd get on it.
You know? Yeah, and I'm glad, you know, people in the government, his own rep, because Hakeem Jeffries is actually his representative from his neighborhood in Harlem. So it's nice to see people use their whatever bully, as small a bully puppet as that dude has. He's using it to try to help a dude. Obvious caveats of, duh, this is a rich and famous, visible American. So latching yourself onto this will, you know, get you visibility. I know all the cynical points. Save that shit. Okay, I get it. But bottom line is, man, this dude shouldn't be rotten in the
prison. Dude, if you're in a fucking solitary,
it's ridiculous.
Country, I don't think you care the reason that somebody's advocating for you. That just needs to be done.
So I hope that situation gets resolved. It sounds like they're going to come down with a decision on this Friday. the courts out in Sweden. I hope this has a speedy resolution. You know, people can get back to their families and stuff. Moving on. Cardi B, of course.
Ow.
Like, she's seriously, though, she is one of the most astute, politically astute artists in the mainstream game, period, right now. Right?
Period.
Obviously, we have people like Beyonce who, you know, they slow roll shit, and Taylor Swift is like, you know, she has her country roots, so it's supposed to be a big deal that she doesn't demonize gays and lesbians and stuff. Like, I get it. The bar is so low for these people. I get it. But Cardi B, man, is always, always, always on point.
Absolutely. So let me just say, I'll read it. I have this in front of me. She tweeted out a couple of days ago about Bernie Sanders. And I'm sorry, I think in order to do it justice, I can't really do an impression, but you know, you gotta do somewhat of the voice, obviously.
Okay.
I've been reading about Bernie Sanders, and I'm really sad about how we let him down in 2016. This man has been fighting for equal rights, and then I love this. This next word is all capitalized. So he's been fighting for equal rights and human rights a long time. And also, I just want to say she spells along like she spells it A-L-O-N-G instead of two words. And that's, I love it because, I mean, I wouldn't have thought this anyways, but like, you know, one of the way that you, I mean, obviously I'm not at a level where I'd have somebody handling my Twitter account, but one of the ways you know that I'm, you know, like sending tweets off is that there's a ton of misspellings and missing words and shit.
Yep.
So I appreciate that someone who is such a, I mean, is a global superstar and absolutely does not need to, like, she could just have somebody doing like, you know, hey, everybody, I'm, you know, I'm here, like, come see me in, you know, Staples Center. She's doing her own tweets. She does her own shit. She has her own content. That's just part of the, She's hands on, man. She's fucking cool.
Yep.
This man has been fighting for equal rights, human rights, for such a long time. Seeing this country become a better place has really been his passion for a long time. Not just a new front for the campaign.
Wow! Shots exactly. Fired.
Done. Stop fucking around.
And again, the reason why I say she's politically astute is that intuitively she gets it. She's like, this is the type of person who we want to empower. The job of somebody who is president is to try to ensure the best outcomes for the most people, right? Like, she gets it. She gets it. She understands, right? It's not complicated, right? Like, the main job of this person, yes, they're the freaking PR face of the global military machine that is America. You know, they're basically our diplomat. We get it. They have all these other hats that they wear, but their main job is to ensure the best outcomes for the most people's lives. And obviously, Cardi gets it.
She gets it. It's not that complicated.
She reads about Bernie's record. She's like, oh shit, okay. This is a dude who's dedicated his whole life to this shit. Obviously, this is the best choice.
Obviously. It's not, you know, because I think a lot of pop stars, like, it's either like, you know, it's either the corporate democratic bullshit, and you know, and I think it's a combination of like, maybe just like not necessarily being that invested in it. And then sort of like, hey, I want to seem like I'm kind of a nice person, but actually at the same time, like, you know, I'm worth tens of millions of dollars or whatever it might be. I don't really want to actually, you know, have any actual, you know, reclaiming of some power in this society. So to me, along with everything else, and the thing that I say to, like, I mean, mostly she's universally loved, but occasionally, like, you know, you'll get those scold comments on my side of things, like, oh, like, but she, yeah, but she promotes materialism. And it's like, first of all, just, you know,
Jesus please Christ.
Be that person, because that makes us all look bad. But more big picture, even, it's like, that's also what's so great about her, right?
Right.
That it is. It's all of the above. It's like
she contains multitudes.
And I'm gonna party and like that. It's hilarious. That's and she's always got sound instincts. So fuck it. Listen to her. Vote for Bernie Sanders. Stop messing around. Listen to Cardi B.
Let's go. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for today. Of course, the tickets for the Count the Dings live show at the Independent Hall in San Francisco on October 12th are now live. There's a very limited, and I'm not just saying this as a marketing ploy. I know y'all like, oh, please, this shit is in October. I got plenty of time. There's a limited amount of tickets left, guys. You want to get your hands on this as soon as possible. It's going to be an incredible show. Obviously, the entire Count the Dings crew, Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari of the Light Years podcast. These are Bay Area legends at this point. Marcus Thompson, of course, wrote the actual book on Steph Curry. Then he turned around and wrote a book on Kevin Durant, both bestsellers. We have more special guests coming as well. And Mike, man, tell them about the Chicago show, please.
All right. We're in that phase now where it's speeding up again. So, you know, I don't know where we're at in terms of like the sellouts like in LA and Brooklyn, but I know that it's picking up a lot of speed and there's actually less space at this venue than in the other venues. And if you wait to the last minute, that's not going to bode well for you. So August 24th at Lincoln Hall in Chicago. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week. Leave us reviews.
I love you guys.
I love you guys. See you soon.
Later, Rob.
Ha 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 ha!